For better or worse, social media has accelerated the popularity of true crime content, be it documentaries, podcasts, YouTubers, you know, whatever. Well, Illinois State University senior Nicole Roach is trying to harness that energy in a positive way. She tells WGLT's Lindsay Jones she stumbled upon the 1975 cold case of then ISU student Carol Rofstadt while doing research online, and the 46-year-old murder has haunted her ever since.
I had come across Carol's case on the Illinois State Police page. They have like a whole page about unsolved homicides, and I saw this and I was like, I've never heard about this before. Like, I have a lot of friends who went to ISU, you know, I have a lot of like my parents' friends who went to ISU, and I was like, how did I not know about this? So basically I came across her case, and to me it seemed like there is a lot more that could have been done, and there's a lot more that can be done.
What in particular led you to think that?
She was last seen walking from a local bar, The Cellar, which is now the Garlic Press, over on North Street on the night of December 22nd, 1975. At this point, most ISU students were already gone for Christmas break, but she had decided to stay a while longer to pick up some extra shifts at her retail job. After she left the bar, she started her less than 10-minute walk to the Delta Zeta sorority house, which was at 602 South Fell Street. And around noon the next day, on the 23rd, a passerby had found Carol unconscious and badly beaten near the side of the sorority house. And the murder weapon, an 18-inch piece of railroad tie covered in blood, was found next to her. Signs of hypothermia indicated that she had been out there all night. She was rushed to the hospital to undergo emergency brain surgery, but she sadly passed away on Christmas Eve. It doesn't seem like theft was a reason, as she had all her belongings and all her money was still found in her purse. And there were actually two sorority sisters in the house that night, and they didn't hear a peep. They didn't hear anything. So it came to me at some point this summer, and I was thinking, you know, could I ask Normal Police for the case files? A couple months ago, they ended up sending me hundreds of files on Carol's case. And looking through all of that, I had noticed that there were a lot of loose ends, you know, a lot of investigations that didn't really lead anywhere, a lot of, you know, suspects that were just given a polygraph, and if they passed it, they were just let off. So when I was looking at this, I thought, well, there's got to be some way that this can be solved. And I believe that in the early 2000s, Normal Police had sent in evidence. I'm not sure quite what evidence. They had sent it to the FBI for analysis for fingerprints or DNA. But the results of those have never been released publicly, and they're not in the case files. But I think that it would be a really, really good idea for Normal Police to retest those. Even though it's been two decades since they did that, like, the technology for extraction, degraded DNA, all this stuff has just completely blossomed within even the past 5 years. And the technology is so much better than it used to be. And I think that even the FBI didn't have that technology back then.
Is this also where the social media aspect comes into play? Because I know that you had started the Facebook group to revive interest in Carol Rofstadt's case.
I think that with a lot of these cold cases, it just takes one person or a group of people to get that public attention, and that's really what snowballs it, and that's what can lead to, you know, the resolution. I think that with, you know, fresh eyes on the case, new investigators, new technology, new ways of investigating things, it can 100% be solved. And that's really a large reason why I'm trying to, you know, get on media and try to, you know, go on Facebook, talk to as many people as I can on campus, because I really think that a lot of people would want this case to be solved and would like to push the police more to get this case solved, but they're just unaware of it. And when I do tell people about it, they're so surprised. They're like, how can I not know about this?
There's been some valid critiques of true crime enthusiasts who have, you know, taken things too far, or they've been almost voyeuristic with what they do, or they hurt things more than they help them. How do you draw that line for yourself and make sure that what you're doing is not playing into any negative cycles that social media can play into?
With social media, it has been such a great tool to bring awareness about cases that have been totally, you know, thrown on the back burner for so long. And, you know, that's why I decided to utilize social media a lot to garner awareness with Carol's case, because a lot of people online weren't aware of it, and there weren't a lot of online, you know, discussions about it. When I created this Facebook page, I realized that there were a lot of older people who joined it who did go to the university during the time, and they didn't even have any idea that she was killed. I really wanted to kind of get the story together, get all the information that wasn't put online, and kind of give it to people in its entirety and say, you know, these are the facts, and what can we do to help?
That was ISU senior Nicole Roach speaking with WGLT's Lindsay Jones. Roach started the Facebook group called Who Killed Carol Rofstad? You can read the full story on our website at WGLT.org.